This is the Sunday morning sermon from the 8:15 service of February 22nd, 1987, from the Fourth Presbyterian Church of Bethesda, Maryland. The speaker is Dr. Norris, and his subject, The Faith of Amram and Jochebed. This is seventh in a series entitled Believing God. Dr. Norris speaks from Exodus 2, 1 through 10, and Hebrews 11, 23.
From the second chapter, and reading the first 10 verses. We read concerning the story of the birth of Moses. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. And then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the river bank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. And then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes." "Go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." And then reading verse 23 in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we find there the author saying, "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict." Amen. May the Lord grant to us blessing and wisdom in this his word. Let's come before him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we approach you this morning, we ask of your Sovereign Spirit that he would come and minister to us, that he would shut out every thought, that he would block that which would obscure our vision of yourself, our understanding of your word, and our commitment to your way. Grant to us, precious Lord, grace enough to hear, to believe, to receive, and thus to worship. For we come in the name of our Savior. We come in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I doubt that if I asked 1 in 100 in our congregation, what are the names of Moses' parents, that those names would leap onto your lips. So little do they leap onto our lips, and so little are they a part of our understanding of the whole of the scripture, that when we came to write the card which contains the preaching series of the church, we got them wrong. The name of Moses' father and mother are Amram and Jochebed. Our card says Aram. We missed out an M there. Amram and Jochebed. 14 times in the scripture, Amram mentioned, and 7 times Jochebed mentioned. And they are two people that we think very little of. And there is no great reason for us to think about them. They do not figure largely in any of the great stories of the Old Testament. And yet this one thing is true of them, that in this 23rd verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the author of this epistle, led by the Spirit of God, figures them sufficiently worthy to take and say their faith is significant. They are simply two slaves, two of a very common crowd of people, no outstanding personalities, not even mentioned by name in Hebrews. We're told, as we read together, that they're sons and daughters of the succession of Levi. They had joined their lives together in marriage, but they were still slaves. Moses was born to them. He was born a slave child. He was born 64 years after the Israelites had come and settled in Egypt, after the Pharaoh, under God's guidance, had made Joseph prime minister of Egypt, after Israel had been settled in Goshen by his edict. The people had seen a decline in royal favor. The Pharaoh was dead. A generation grew who, we are told, knew not Joseph. They didn't care about the Israelites in their midst. And the people had become a slave community. So much so that the Egyptians, who had resented the possession of the rich land of Goshen, had determined to prevent the expansion of these people, fearing that should they ever be invaded, these would rise up and support the invaders. And as a consequence, they had decreed that every boy child that was born should be killed. That was the edict. We have an interesting case that so revolting was this to the conscience of the midwives of Egypt that they refused to undertake it, and they would not kill the male children that they saw being born. And therefore another decree went out that every boy that was born would be taken and would be cast into the Nile, so that the Nile should become a river of death. And Moses was born, and born under the sentence of death, condemned to be cast into this water. The scripture says he was a goodly child, and that his parents took him and hid him for the first 3 months of his birth. And then, when he had grown too much for them to be able to hide any more, they were faced with a hard decision as to what they were going to do, because the baby's crying had become louder, and he was drawing the attention of the watchers. And they knew that not only would he be killed, but they would die for having disobeyed the commandments that the Pharaoh had given to them. And suddenly, we see the faith of two slaves demonstrated in that they took their baby and they put him into a tiny papyrus ark. They covered him and they took this precious ark and they put it down in the reeds, and they sent Miriam, the sister of Moses, to watch over the little baby. In the 23rd verse, we see the faith of simple people. A faith that, whilst their names are never mentioned, yet their faith is engraved into the scripture as being profound and real and enormously practical. We know that they believed in God, even amidst the oppression of the slavery which they endured. They believed that if they came to God, that he was a rewarder of them that sought him diligently. And so they took an ark and they put a baby in it. They placed him in a river. And simple folk with a sublime faith, they trusted Moses to God. And as we look at the faith of these two people, simple and yet sublime, we see that there are elements within it that cause us to recognize that faith, though simple, might be profound and might challenge and might stir each one of us. For the first thing that we see about the nature of the faith of this couple was that here, faith was inspired solely by hope. They knew that their condition was hopeless. There was a sense of love and affection for the child that they'd given birth to, but they knew the hopelessness of the circumstances. Here they were, waiting to take their child and to see him killed, to be flung into the waters, and they knew a despair because the whole of life seemed to have circumstances crushing in around them, and it seemed black, and it seemed desperate. It seemed that a night had come upon their soul that they could not understand and could hardly live with, and they didn't know the way out, and they saw no way in which they could walk, and they saw no hope for the circumstances in which they found themselves, and all they could do was to venture everything that they were upon the reality of the God that they barely knew. And that's what they did. In the souls of this father and this mother, there was a hope that was brought out of despair because there was nowhere else to go. They had a faith in God that inspired a hope that didn't even seem to make very much sense. They had a hope that this little life would be spared. And yet what they did was to have a great and a venturesome faith in the presence of apparently hopeless circumstances. And there's a time and a place where for you and for me, the faith that we have brings us to a place of hope, daring to face seeming disaster, absolute despair, trusting only in the reality of the God that we know, and we don't always know Him very well. And yet faith produces a hope that in the midst of despair will move forward. And it can produce the greatest miracle in our lives. It can produce that miracle that can bring about the establishment of the purpose and the will of God. In the midst of hopelessness, faith inspired these two people, and in the place of our hopelessness and our despair and the place where we have come and we cannot see answers, then all we have, all that is left to us in faith, is the hope that comes that God is in His glory and He can do it. "Why art thou cast down within me, O my soul?" cried the psalmist. "Hope thou in God." He couldn't go anywhere else. The psalmist was cast down and he had no recourse and no place of respite. And yet he knew that he came, and in his faith a hope was born that the God of heaven could and would intrude and move. And that's where faith is. Simple, profound faith that is translated into a hope that when we cannot, then God can. When we are at the end of our resource, then God is there, and He is great and He is mighty. And He can do what He will as He wills. And the element in the faith of Amram and Jochebed was that faith was founded upon this hope. But there's another thing. We see also that the faith of these two people was a faith that created courage when there probably wasn't any that was natural. In their case, the writer sums up their life when he says, they were not afraid of the king's commandments. And that's an ultimate finding. It's true. There's a sense in which they knew the danger of living in disobedience to the king and his word. And they defied him by refusing to cast their child into the river of death. If word had reached the king or his court, then the boy would die and they would die too. And yet there was in their faith that conviction that there was an authority and a power that is greater even than the edict of the tyrant and of the one who held all their life in their hand. Pharaoh said, "Kill these boys." And they said, "No. There is a higher authority that we dare with the courage that He gives to us to face all that is evil, trusting solely in the good." And here we're called in our own age to recognize whether weak, dead, this hope that creates courage. Times when we're afraid, desperately afraid of what the future is or where the present has brought us. Desperately hurting and anguished. And here the faith of these two people, without any other thing created, a courage that says, we will dare to defy Pharaoh because it's right to do it. And despite the hopelessness of their situation, despite the powerlessness, despite the weakness of their own individuality, yet here faith gave them a courage that was prepared to risk, believing that if it was right, it was right, and wrong, then it must be denied. And whether it brought them to disaster and to ruin, yet they had to walk where it was right. And it hurt them. And a courage was born within them that was the courage of God's faith and his creation. And Amram and Jochebed, timorously, and yet knowing what they did, in their beaten down hopelessness, they confronted the mighty power of the Hyksos king of Egypt. This nomadic, this brigand, this usurper of authority and power who had seized the throne of Egypt. Tyrant as he was, they confronted him with their weakness and with their rags and with their slavery, and they said, we yet will serve God. That's what faith will do. Not out of power, but out of weakness, and in weakness there will be a courage to dare even for God. But there's a third thing that we see about the faith of these very simple people. And it's this, that the faith that they had acted rationally. It meant this. They made an ark of bulrushes. It was an act of reason that carefully was prepared. It was not the act simply of instant desperation. It wasn't the act that said, we've got to do something this second, let's go do it now. It was an act of reason and of preparation. It was an act of rationality. Mark the wit that they had, sufficient so that when they placed a baby in the midst of the bulrushes, they also were clear that they put Miriam, their daughter, so that she would be there should eventuality arise for her to protect this little boy. And when the daughter of Pharaoh came and lifted the lid and the baby cried, then Miriam came at once and said, shall I find you a nurse for it? Here was the pure practicality. She had been set there. She knew what she could do. And immediately she went and she found Jochebed, her mother. Faith was not irrational. Faith of the simple did not deny their reason. They used it and they brought and cohered the reason and the faith, the trust in God and the awareness that yet what God had made them to be and to do had to be integrated and involved. And their reason was applied. Oliver Cromwell, just before the Battle of Naseby Field, said to his army, trust in God and keep your powder dry. Because if your powder gets wet, all the trust in God that you have is not going to help those muskets fire those balls into your enemy. Faith was not irrational. If you put out your gunpowder on the night that it was going to rain and it got wet, you deserved, when you fired your gun, to find it simply go fat and nothing happen. Faith is not irrational. It does not turn round and deny all those things. We need to hear again and again that faith acts rationally. Here, Amram and Jochebed prepared the ark. They put the baby in it. They closed the lid. And they laid it in the river of death with Miriam to watch. And when the child grew, then we see that Pharaoh's daughter, adopted him as her son. The whole process was a reasoned one. And faith takes reason and it uses it. It doesn't deny it. Oh, we come in our world to the place where there are those who say, well, our faith has to lead us beyond our reason. And sometimes it does, but it doesn't lie at the place where faith contradicts our reason. It may supersede it on occasion, but normally it acts rationally. Faith is not irrational leap into the dark. It is a commitment to accept who we are of God and to build upon it. And there are times when we so spiritualize our activities that we do not act rationally at all, and we deny the creation of God as He has given to us minds and capacities that are able to analyze and to see and to work. We aren't called to that. We aren't called to live a life of denial of truth, but to understand that faith and reason and rationality are cohesive and belong together. But there is a final thing that we see here about the state in which Amram and Jochebed found themselves with their faith. And perhaps it's the greatest thing of all. Something that Jochebed and Amram did not know. They were unconscious of what they were doing, but their faith unconsciously was cooperating with God. Oh, they didn't know it. That was the human issue of this act. They were saving their child. The cry of the baby admitted him to the heart of Pharaoh's daughter, and the woman admitted him to the court of Pharaoh, and he was trained and educated there in Egypt. And Stephen says of him, Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in his words and his work. God had a purpose, and the faith of these simple people unconsciously was cooperating with the purpose of God. And as we exercise our faith in the mysterious circumstances of our life, unconsciously, unwittingly, and unknowingly, often we find that that faith is working and cooperating with what God is doing. And we struggle, and yet He knows. And we grope on, and we find that we are cooperating with Him and His work. What they were going to do, they didn't actually know as they put this baby into an ark. They had no concept that they had given birth to a man that one day would stand before God on the mountain of His holiness. A man of whom the scripture says that he would speak as face to face with the Lord his God. His mother and his father, they didn't know that. But they acted and they cooperated with the purpose of God in such a way that they raised up one who would be one of the greatest of all of Israel's heroes and all of history's men who stood before the Lord their God. The principle is that faith operates and works mightier issues than ever it realizes. Let me ask of you, those of you who are parents, how this principle of faith operates in your own case and in those of your children. What will be the result of your training? Amram and Jochebed simply saved the life of their boy. Do you see purposelessness oftentimes in the raising of those who are dearest to you, your children? A couple of years ago, there was a very brilliant author who published a number of books before she was very old. And then she got married and went to see a college friend at the University of Oxford. And her college friend was an eminent professor who said, "My dear, we've had no books from you for many, many years. I think it's a pity that you ever gave up writing. You had a great gift for it. And what you said was so profound and so good." And the lady turned to her professor and said, "Well, you know, I haven't really given up writing." And she said to him, "Well, what have you written?" And she said, "I've written two things. What are their titles?" "Oh, David and James. They're my children." "Your children?" he replied. "Yes. I'm planning to write living epistles, known and read by all men and women, that they have been with Jesus." We know not what we do as we cooperate with the will of God in the simple, in the obedient things of our life.
We know not how profound a simple obedience of faith can be. The principle of faith operating works mightier issues than we know. The principle applied is that to the lowliest of slaves, in the most apparently trivial of matters, the greatest things began to happen. The highest, the sublimest things were created, and in Moses we have God's purpose worked out. In this triumph of faith, I believe the author of the Hebrew letter was led by the Spirit to include the action of two people he didn't know very much about, hidden in crowds of slaves, so much so that today their names are forgotten by all save the diligent Bible student. And yet two people who by an act of venturesome, superlative faith marched with God and created a vantage ground upon which he moved forward in the fulfillment of his highest purpose. This is the faith of the simple. Amram and Jochebed. It becomes ours too, as we trust in him. As in Jesus Christ, the Lord, we move forward simply and yet sublimely confident of his presence, his grace, and his blessing. Let's pray. Our Father, we come with the names of two written on our minds perhaps for the first time, and yet in your purpose they were mighty servants. Bless us that our faith might be as of theirs, simple and yet profound, to accommodate and complete your perfect will. O, move in us and through us. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.